I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Dekar, the Wolf of Dong Street, the Wolf of Donkey Street, and I am joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness, the birthday boy himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
32 years of hell. That's what it's been. I'm 32 today.
Every day worse than the day before it.
That first day was sick, let me tell you.
Doctor slapped me on the ass, and it all went downhill from there. How's your birthday going, Mac
fine.
Man?
It's nice. Our guest brought me some cakes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
The Pillsbury Doughboy is our guest today. No, we've got Maddie Ryan on the show. How are you, Maddie?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, guys. Happy birthday, Tommy. What a beautiful
Thank
day.
You, Maddie.
A great day to be alive.
It really is. It really is.
Beautiful day for a birthday,
I'll say.
Is it? It's all cloudy and shit.
Yeah, it's true. But it's nice. It's not raining, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I woke up late. I missed the dreary parts. It's all just get dark so we can start drinking already,
That's what
huh?
I say.
But no, it's gonna be a beautiful 32. I think for you, man. I think
so.
You're gonna have
Where's the hang tonight?
Big year.
Fine time.
Hey, don't tell these freaks who listen to the show. That place will be covered in weirdos.
Don't put this out until tomorrow.
There'll be fucking a bunch of weirdos just chomping at the bit to make horse jokes.
Throwing their underwear, Tommy.
Well, you know what's interesting? So there's a debate about that phrase, chomping at the bit, because it was originally champing at the bit.
So I did not know this, and I frankly, when you said it earlier, I thought you were lying.
No.
I was gonna say, how often do you guys talk about this? You're like, this is all previous conversation. Okay.
It did come up in our group chat because I was trying to be pedantic to Bobby Condon. Which
yes.
Was fun
sure.
For me.
Yes.
But I learned it because there was a college professor of mine who like got mad if you said chomping at the bit, and he was like, it's champing. And I was like, all right. So that's why it's always been in my head. But I looked it up, and it is a horse term. Which
it is?
Funny. Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. I was about to say more like clomping at the bit for Tommy, but it's already a horse thing.
Champing, yeah.
And you know what that leads us into.
Stand by your band. It's horses now.
I couldn't wait more than 2 minutes. So a funny thing about that. So Alex was on the show last week.
Oh,
Alex
nice.
And Maddie are, of course, together. And I could not
Which
wait.
Which is a breaking it. Scoop on this podcast.
Yeah.
Hot scoop, hot
We're
dish.
Announcing
you heard
it.
Here last.
We're announcing it. So all you weirdos, get out of Alex's DMs.
Yeah, knock it off.
And into Maddie's.
And get into Maddie's. Well, yeah, we had her record a little VO work for us.
She's so good at VOs, it's crazy.
Yeah, she's been blowing up on that
big time.
TikToks. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's wild.
Now, what have you been up to there, Maddie?
Oh, man, you know, I'm just out here doing some shows, hanging out. You know what I mean? Did an audition at New York Comedy Club last night.
Oh, yeah.
Went okay.
How'd it go? It went all right?
Yeah, it was good.
Are you in? What's the deal?
I don't know. We'll find out. Tim Smith
shit.
Was there, too. He fucking destroyed.
Oh, hell
big
yeah.
Time. Like, I think he had the set of the night for sure.
My Ooh. Man.
So it was great
I love
to see
him. He's a recent guest on this show.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
One of our least prepared guests.
Yeah. Yeah. Although.
Speaking of.
Yeah. I was going to say.
A close second is here today.
I was on the way here like, man, I think I fucked up. I was like, there's no way like Tim McLaughlin is better than.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, for
oh,
sure.
You right
did his homework.
That.
Okay.
No. You don't have to do any homework. And Tim Smith certainly didn't. He mostly just kept saying, it's good.
Come on,
the weekend is good, dude. And he was right. We love old Timmy Smith.
Oh, he's the best.
And that sound, he did bring us some good songs. It was fun to listen to. But.
So yeah, let's get into it. So Maddie, you're a big jam band guy.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't wear it as openly. I feel like, I mean, I do, like, you know, Fish is probably my favorite band, which, like, I almost, like, I know it's so polarizing, like, people hate him so much.
Sure.
So I feel like I don't like, you know, volunteer it as often, because I feel like then people will just discount whatever anything else I have to say about music for the rest of my life, you know?
Right, right.
And clearly you guys have done that. I think you've done it more than once.
I think we've done multiple
Fish episodes. Then you brought The Dead, which we did, I think, two recently. I think we also might have done twice also.
But I think we,
how many episodes? Are you guys down to like Marble Shop Quartets now?
I don't know.
How many bands are left?
We've been going for 5 years.
Yes.
Wow.
Which I thought meant 500 episodes. Famously.
And what a 500 episodes it's been.
100 weeks a year.
We probably are close to like 300. I stopped putting numbers on the episodes, and I did not think about the fact that that would make it very difficult to. Yeah,
I thought you guys already hit three. Didn't you? You had some milestone not that long ago.
We had 5 years.
We had 200. Okay. Also, okay. We did. Right. Yeah, like a thing for.
I guess
but,
I could look it up.
But yeah, so you pitched Fish and Grateful Dead, which we couldn't do, and sure. then we got to Beck, which I think is very interesting to talk about. I feel like a lot of people have different opinions on
sure.
Beck.
Sure.
And I definitely have a multitude of opinions on
yeah.
that.
Yeah, so yeah, that's,
oh, that's good to know.
I do too
okay.
now, because I was like, all right, if we're going to do this, I need to know. Like, and I started like reading about them. I'm like, oh, God damn it. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like a
yeah.
don't meet your heroes. Also, don't even learn about them. Don't
no.
see, don't know
no,
what they
you're
named
not gonna
their kids.
Do that.
Don't like.
Oh, what did he name his kids? Do
like
you have a
Tuesday
famous?
Tuesday and fucking Umbrella or something. It was like.
Which ones are the weird ones?
So Tuesday. Fucking Umbrella.
His mom was like an Andy Warhol performance artist.
Yes.
And like his sister's named Rain. And I'm like, everyone can fuck off.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting, because one of the other things you mentioned was Velvet Underground, and his mom was at a time a go-go dancer for the Velvet Underground.
Oh,
that's wow. cool. Yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting connection with two
yeah.
bands you like. But yeah, his dad was like a bluegrass musician, and his mom was in that Andy Warhol factory scene or whatever.
Sure.
And they were just like this weird bohemian LA family that had this like.
They were Scientologists, but then he said he wasn't.
Dude,
that stuff's crazy. Yeah.
We got to get into that, because I found an article right off the bat. If you look up Beck controversy, it's the first thing that comes up.
Is it Leah Remini?
It's Leah Remini. Yeah. I'm just going to read some of this article. It is from 2019, and the title is Former Scientologists Are Really, Really Mad at Beck. Right now. And it's really weird that he did this, but Leah Remini's mad at him. She says that he's acting like he was never a Scientologist, which is his way of not publicly speaking out and therefore not getting labeled like us and attacked like us. She said to the Underground Bunker, a blog run by a Scientologist,
you know,
a Scientology critic.
A journalist.
It's weird to be a Scientology critic. Like, I give your Scientology a 7.3. The outrage was in reference to an interview with the Sydney Morning Herald, as quoted by the Hollywood Reporter, in which Beck said, "I think there's a misconception that I am a Scientologist. I'm not a Scientologist. I don't have any connection or affiliation with it, but I've pretty much just focused on my music and my work for most of my life and tended to do my own thing. I think it's just something people ran with." And it's funny that he did that, because they say it's a bit of a turnaround from 14 years
yeah,
ago
yeah.
when in an interview with the Irish Sunday Tribune, this is a quote, "Yeah, I'm a Scientologist."
It's like I grew up around it and everything.
People can say and do whatever they want. I don't have anything to hide. I'm completely proud of my life. I think about philosophy and sort of all these kind of, you know, ideals that are common to a lot of religions. There's nothing fantastical, just a real deep grassroots concerted effort for humanitarian causes. But yeah, he has a long history with Scientology. His father, David Campbell, is a Scientologist. He grew up in the church and was married to Scientologist Marissa Ribisi, mm-hmm. a sister of actor Giovanni Ribisi.
Twin sister.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
And she was famously in Dazed and Confused. Oh, she was the redhead nerd girl.
I know that. And he was famously Phoebe's boyfriend in Friends.
Isn't it a bummer when you find out people are Scientology? I don't know. Especially with Hollywood, I feel like it's like, oh, that's why you're famous. Or I don't know. I don't know.
How, sure,
I don't know how it works.
It's weird.
I haven't read or watched enough of the Scientology documentaries. I just know it stinks and is bad.
Yeah. Well, see, so yeah, I read Going Clear and I saw the movie and everything. The only two that always bummed me out were Beck and Elizabeth Moss, because I'm such a big Mad Men fan. And
yeah,
she's such
that,
a good
actress.
Is that
the one that's in
The Handmaid's Tale?
Yeah, bummed me out too. I was like, really? Come on.
And she seems,
she's so good.
She's so good. And seems like, I don't know, you just project things onto people. I guess you don't really know what they're like.
Right.
But it was like, those are the two that I was like, oh man, how are they so cool? And doing that when it's like that religion is so clearly, I mean, you know, you can make the argument like, oh, every religion.
Right.
But it's like Scientology. Yeah. It's like
that one, and even Mormonism, I think we can all agree. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Like, you found a book in your hat 100 years ago. It's not even that long.
Like Scientology, I mean, the leader's wife has been missing for like 30 years.
Oh, really? L. Ron Hubbard's wife?
No, Miscavige, the current leader. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Shelley Miscavige is just like missing.
I know that name.
She's
now.
Got
okay.
miss in her name.
But it's just like so clearly fucked up. And then like if you read the book, there's like all these crazy things that they did. And it's just like, I don't get how you get. And it's also just so insane.
Well, they come for you and like harass you to death almost, right?
Even like journalists who write about it, they'll like send people to their houses and shit. You know what I mean? It's just like, so it's hard to reconcile that. And with Beck, I think that thing is so funny because it's like, I didn't even know he distanced himself from it, which good, but it's so funny. It's like,
but
it's
to
like
a no, never word.
Yeah.
Me, Scientology.
What are you guys talking about? I'm Jewish, dude.
It's
little
like,
Beck.
It's like a weird like high school thing where you like try and change your personality and act it's like, well, I was never in a musical theater. What are you talking about? Well, you were in the play last year. It's like, no, I'm into sports.
No, I get laid, brother.
It's like, but yeah, it's always been hard to reconcile with him, like the cool, like Largo fucking crazy musician stuff with the Scientology stuff with him. So it's always,
I think,
made him such an interesting figure in culture.
I met him once. For a second. It was at an SNL after party. He's like 2.5 feet tall. He's a small,
oh, really?
He's a little
small,
guy.
Small,
I've imagined him to be a tall man. I also realized I got him mixed up, and I was very excited about this, and then I realized I had the wrong guy. I thought he was the one who claimed he had a relationship with Natalie Portman, but that was Moby. I was all excited, and then she got stripped away from me.
What's he up to? Is he doing anything anymore?
I think that was the last thing.
He's got his weird vegan tattoo on his neck. And
yeah,
he's getting skinnier and skinnier.
He got like kind of canceled over the, because Natalie Portman was pretty young, I think, when he claimed they had a relationship, and then she, I think it was either his book where he talked about that or her, I think, and then she was like, me and Moby were never together. This is
so
really
weird.
And then he was like, it's really strange that Natalie Portman is acting like this when I have a picture that proves it all. And it's just a picture of him with his arm around her. And he's like,
at the Star Wars premiere or something.
It's clearly a fan picture. It's a wax doll. But anyway, it was not Beck. Beck's innocent.
Well, weird in a different way, I guess.
Yeah.
His name is Beck, B-E-K, is what it was on his birth certificate.
Really?
Which I think is so funny that Beck is like the normal version.
Yeah.
He made it a little
That is hilarious. I had no idea. That's very funny.
Yeah. It sounds like a choking, like just B-E-K.
Just
it sounds B-E-K, like a.
Yeah.
Wait, his name's, Beck David Hansen. Wait, is that not the guy? What's the name of the guy from To Catch a Predator? It's not
Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen, that's right. Damn it, we should have gotten you another one of those for your birthday. Fuck. Okay, well, something might be on the way.
Interesting.
I just realized.
Did you get him a cameo or something?
So we did a cameo for Tommy's birthday a couple of years ago. Me and a bunch of the Chicago boys chipped in. I wish I still had. I don't know if I still have it or not, but we played it on the podcast and it was great. But I'm not going to do it, but I was thinking I should have just had him do another one, but this time it's about horses. Because.
Stand by your band. It's horses now.
See, Beck, I think my overall thing is I'm not a super fan. I would say there's 10 Beck songs that I think are incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I think, like, Odelay was one of the best albums.
Oh, Odelay.
Get the mic.
Oh, sorry, yeah. It was, like, one, even though, like, and I'm not a super fan either. I was just trying to think of, like, what's some, like, go-tos that I really like. I was like, okay, I feel like there's, like, he's got enough of a storied catalog and, like, some different, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, that, what was the one before that, Odelay?
Mellow Gold was first one, which so that had Loser on it. And I was listening to the Beck's Behind the Music.
Nice.
It came out before like most of his career. It was only like three of the albums had come out, where they were talking about that, and he was in like the anti-folk scene
in New York.
Yeah, because he grew up in L.A., then he dropped out of high school and just went to New York by himself and was like basically homeless and just going up to all these folk shows, doing all these weird songs, and this guy saw him on stage and was like, hey, I record music, with just like an 8-track recorder. He wasn't like a big-time producer, like, let me hook you up with Sony or whatever. So they just recorded this album, and the producer said it cost $350 to make the album, and they sold 1 million copies.
Oh, what?
Which is fucking because Loser just got picked up and became this huge hit.
It still is. If you go to Spotify, it's like the most played Beck song by like millions.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Which was surprising. Yeah.
And they recorded it in one afternoon. Like,
that's nuts.
Beck came up with the slide guitar riff and was like, I think I'm going to rap. And they're like, all right. And then he just wrote all this nonsense.
Go on, little Beck.
Like, true, which I mean, that's the written in an afternoon thing. You're like, well, there wasn't a lot of themes in the writing. Complete not. We should listen to that because it's not on the playlist.
There were too many songs even. I was going to put, I tried to get one from each song and then, or, you know, a different album.
Yeah. Let's just hear a little bit of Loser.
Yeah, hung himself with a guitar string was one of those lines that as a kid was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
cocaine nose job. Just a lot of
thing,
evocative
that song
phrases.
Slaps. That thing, oh, that's, you know what I mean? Yeah. It still holds up.
It is, so instantly like, oh yeah, this is a fucking good
song. That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, maybe I'll aim myself with a podcast wire. A mic wire.
Just bashing yourself over there with a Zoom recorder. Like, why is this taking
this
so
is
long?
Poetic.
This stings.
Oh, my God. But yeah, so my experience with Beck was that I knew that song, and I knew a lot of the songs from Odelay, like Where It's At, Devil's Haircut, with songs I loved. And then Midnight Vultures was one of the first albums I bought, and it was the first album I ever bought and didn't like.
Sure.
So it sticks out in my head as that first disappointment of like spending $20 on a CD because I like the artist and really not liking the album, which I was really young, so it's like it's a very experimental record.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. And I listened to it again today, and I liked it more than I did as a child,
but
I was still like
not loving it.
It's just like stuck in my head forever as like, oh, I wasted my CD pick of the week.
Right.
So it'll always be my head
like
that.
That's a good that's a good question. Like, what's the first album you bought? Because it was before you could sit, like, I mean, you could, like, steal music, I guess, but even then, I, like...
Not till later, though.
Yeah. What's the first CD you bought that you were, like, pissed about? I remember I bought a country music tape, this dude named Clay Walker, who had a, who sucks. Okay. And
I forgot Indiana.
Yep. I talked about this on Danny Maupin and Tyler Snodgrass's podcast.
Oh, their country pod?
Yeah, because I grew up on, like, pop country, like shitty country for a little while.
Not like Merle Haggard.
No, we talked about Brooks and Dunn, who I still love a couple songs, but
nice.
I want to find a Clay Walker song real fast just to like, because he had like, oh, I don't even know what like the popular, oh, it's If I Could Make a Living Off of Loving You is the one that I like.
Yeah, man. Here we
what
go.
A concept.
Which sucks. He's talking about OnlyFans. So I bought the album and I was like, oh, hell yeah. And then song number two comes on. I think almost instantly I was like, this fucking sucks. Are you going to sing?
This sounds like a commercial for salsa in the 90s.
Yep. It's funny because it's like, he's like one of those like glam country guy. He's just like a hot guy who does country. Yeah, yeah. And nobody wants to hear him just play the guitar. Like,
what's he up to now?
Well, let's see. Does he have any new music? He has a latest release.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know when that's
from. It's probably about vaccinations, I would guess.
It's called Catching Up With An Old Memory. Oh, well, let's catch up with Clay. Oh, it's...
Like to come in here long, turn it on every once in a while.
This sucks. Yeah. Oh, he looks so old.
Well, we gave it a fair shake.
Yeah.
Tommy's bummed he's not hot anymore. He's like, oh, man.
I do want to.
He's not aged well.
Yeah, this is not good. Anyways, he still sucks. It's weird that he went like, it looks like he went like 15 or like 12 years without releasing anything and then just came back. That's not true. Anyway, doesn't matter. Let's go back.
What city I would have. I had a bunch stolen at the mall one time. I was so mad. I went to the music store and I got like $50 worth of, like it was like two CDs, a couple singles. I was so stoked. I think there was like a Third Eye Blind single in there. You know what I mean? It was like Violent Femmes, something else. And I went to the candy store where you get like, you know, buy the bags of candy and like you wait. And I like turned around to weigh it and I went back to where my CDs were and they were gone.
Oh,
they were in a bag with the receipt and everything. Devastating. It was fucking it ruined my month for sure.
Yeah, that is devastating. God damn. Man, now it's good that we, you know, don't pay artists or anything. Let's hear another song. You gave us 4 years. Oh yeah, sorry, but you were talking about the album and you just didn't like the experience.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a very weird album. It was too weird for me at the time.
He's got a lot
today.
Of weird shit that I still am not super that don't vibe.
Like
with
I listened to it today, and I think Sex Laws, the first song on that album, is actually really good. And I was just like, just didn't get it at whatever age I was. But the rest of it, I was listening to, I was like, no, I still don't really fuck with this.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I have trouble. I really loved Morning Phase, the album that he won
album of the year
for. Yeah. And that famously Kanye was pissed about almost did the same thing he did to Taylor Swift.
He was going off about it too. He's like, this guy, everyone was like, yeah. Yo, dog, this guy plays like 30 instruments.
It's so funny. Yeah, that's
a good artist.
There's a, because he said, Kanye famously said that he had like no respect or something like that. Damn it, I had it pulled up and now it's gone for some reason.
I think you're thinking of Rodney Dangerfield.
That's true.
He's really handling it pretty well. He's like, I don't know, man, I think Kanye's pretty cool. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, he said he didn't he needed to respect the artistry because he urged Beck to give his Grammy Award to Beyonce again. Oh, it's always about Beyonce. Yeah. It's very funny. Well, was that Lemonade that year or something?
Maybe it was 2014. Yeah, could have been. I think that's an interesting thing about Beck because Beck has two like big sad folk albums, mm-hmm. Sea Change and Morning Phase.
Yeah, yeah. I threw a Sea Change song on there.
Yeah, so Sea Change is amazing, and it's just interesting. I feel like people who only hear those albums think of him as like sad folk guy, but he has so many different modes and styles, which is what makes him interesting to talk about.
Yeah,
he's definitely
insanely
talented and like is not like a one act
for
kind
sure
of guy in any way.
Yeah.
I still lean more into that side of him because I like sad boy shit. But
because that song came through that like Lost Cause came out when I was like in high school and it was like a prime. There, you know, that was on a couple Boohoo mixtapes I had. You know what I mean? Like,
Boohoo mixtape
for Halloween.
Spooky back.
Oh, before I forget,
break.
Oh man, the passing of time. before I forget, a cap on the Kanye thing is that he also said he does play basketball with Beck.
What?
I know.
He's like, fuck that dude, man. I'll see you on Thursday.
Oh my god, I would kill to see a tape of that game.
I would kill to see Beck doing anything athletic, just catching a ball. I think it would be huge.
Well, he apologized and said he said it too quick, and he said he was wrong to say that anyone who can play 14 different instruments is not respectful to the artistry of music. And also, I play basketball with Beck.
What if Kanye was like the most selfless basketball player? Like he just sets screens and like plays really good team defense. It's like, wow, he's nothing like his personality on the court. You gotta respect him.
Oh man, that would be a sight to see. I just want to see one-on-one.
Kanye
Beck
back.
V. Kanye.
Well, that's how they should decide the Grammys. Yes. I want to see Arcade Fire play against Dua Lipa. 14-on-1.
That's going to be a tough win. And a tough win. There we go. All right. Let's hear some songs, because you sent us, once again, for people who were just checking back in and missed last week's episode, we have now changed the format. We're doing four songs instead of six. One of the four you gave us was Devil's Haircut. Now, do you worship the devil? Is that why?
Not anymore. No, okay, it was in my Scientology days.
It doesn't seem like you've had a person's haircut in about three years, Maddie.
No, it has been a couple years. It's long. If you guys can't see, the hair is just ripping.
And they certainly cannot.
check out Maddie's Instagram. Pause it. Yes, check out Maddie's Instagram. Yeah. Then laugh along.
Instagram.
Have yourself a
give
laugh.
Me a like and a follow over there while you're snooping around.
Don't waste your time with that.
No. Stand by your band. It's visual jokes now. all right, let's hear Devil's Haircut.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it's the first track on Odelay and just slaps out of the gate.
Right off the bat.
Something's wrong because my mind is fading. And everywhere I look, there's a dead end waiting. Temperature is dropping at the rotten oasis. Stealing kisses from the leper's faces. Mentions. Mouthwash, jukebox, gasoline. Pistols are pointing at a poor man's pockets. Smiling eyes ripping out of the sockets. Got a devil's haircut.
That's a great song.
Yeah, that's killer. That's a great
song. There's a lot of ones off that album that I wanted to put on, but I was like, that one rips, and it's the first one on the...
Right out of
the
game.
What I mean? It was like, that was his follow-up to Mellow Gold, right? Mm-hmm. Like, after Loser. So, like, to come out, was that like 96 or something that album came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm.
And just bangers.
So
yeah.
many bangers.
Yeah, so that and Where It's At as two singles.
Yeah,
it's
like, yeah. So it was hard to pick which one of those for the play.
Oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
God, yeah.
I don't know how I totally forgot about Where It's At until I was listening
throw
to that.
Throw that out
I was
for
like,
a second,
oh, yeah.
man. Take that for a little
I
spin.
I mean, it's a good time. Where It's At. I got to turn to all right.
Destination, a little up the road from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low. The jigsaw jazz and the get fresh flow. Out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone, bottles and cans are just
damn it, that is so cool. That's
just, this is real cool.
Where's that?
That beat is so sick.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's amazing.
So going back to the song we just heard, Devil's Haircut, the song is open to many interpretations. How do you define the blues? Its definition seems to vary for listeners and artists. Beck noticed this vague quality himself. When asked, he's offered up numerous possible interpretations, from the silly to the obscure to the possible. He even made fun of it during his appearance on the TV show Futurama with the line, "What was that song about?"
That's great.
I loved him on Futurama. Ooh. That's a great bit they did.
Just did a podcast with John DiMaggio, who played Bender.
He was very cool. Doug Loves Movies. Check
and he
out
talked
the
about
Mac
coming
Man.
On this show at some point.
Hey, we got to do
there
that. Check out
Get
the Mac Man on Doug Loves Movies. A lot of people listen to this show because they heard me on Doug Loves Movies, and now they get to hear the Mac Man too.
Hey,
yes,
it's a good. What a time. And the cartoon series. That's the same thing I just read.
I do vaguely remember Beck being on Futurama.
Yeah.
Like just hearing that.
And like, it's
oh,
like
yeah.
just his
head.
In a yeah, 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 it's yeah. so funny. let's see here. Mike Simpson, half of the Dust Brothers production duo who produced the Odelay album, explained that the sampled guitar riff is technically not a sample. It's Beck playing. Basically, we'd sit and listen to records, and Beck would go, "I really love the guitar sound on that," and then he'd start playing it. Let's see. Beck had this broken 20-watt amp, and we plugged it in and moved the mic around and ran it through one of our little distortion pedals until we got the sound we were looking for. Then we'd record him playing. We had a pretty primitive recording setup back then. That's pretty sick.
Yeah,
that's, cool. That's a cool that way dope. To do it.
That's like rock and roll DIY. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to say punk, but it's not. You know what I mean? The punk ethos, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that's another misconception I had about Beck, just because of Scientology. You would not assign that like folk punk DIY kind of shit.
Right. He's just got so much money to get the nicest shit.
That's what you think. Yeah, his dad's in Scientology. Mm-hmm. He must be like his dad must be John Travolta.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I would have thought. And I even until today, I had no idea. There you go. We got more music for you freaks.
You sick fucks.
Oh my God. Uh-oh. Wait, what? Slip. Oh, good. I got worried. My friend Melinda texted me that she's gone full slip head, and I thought she meant Slipknot.
Slipknot, yeah.
She meant Slop Head, which is our friends the Sloppy Boys.
Sloppy Boys.
Check out that pod too. We were just recommending all kinds of bullshit.
Who's that?
That's Mike Hanford, Tim Kalpakis, and Jefferson Dunn. Very
great pod.
Dope. Very great band too.
Yeah, their music is really good and they're funny as hell. I have some highlights in the fridge because I was making their last little cocktail, which is very controversial. The spaghetti, very good. I loved it.
What's in that?
It is a little bit of Aperol, which I talked about last week. I got canceled by Negroni Twitter for using Aperol in my Negronis. But it's an ounce of Aperol and an ounce of lemon juice in a High Life.
Interesting.
You just
okay.
drink the top part of a High Life and like fill the neck with that. It's nice. Pretty sick. It's very good. All right. What's the next song we got here? Let's listen to Lost Cause.
That's beautiful.
We're
all just crying. Yeah, right? Isn't there like just like a melancholy, just like kind of a haunting beauty to it? You know
and his
what
voice
mean?
Is so good.
Yeah.
Which you don't get from the earlier stuff because it's like distorted and
totally.
Like.
And I learned today when I was like doing a quick Wikipedia, I'm like, well, I better learn about this guy that I'm such a fan of. And I guess he wrote that whole album in like a week after a breakup.
Wow. Yeah, I think they'd been together for like 9 years. Mm-hmm. They were engaged.
It's like
one of the all-time just great breakup albums. Yeah.
I made like a little documentary in college too that I put that. So it was about like homelessness in Chicago. And that song made it on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was the freshman. And towards the end of high school. Yeah, keep fucking up the mic, goddamn.
I feel bad. I'm just the only one who can
hear. Exactly,
and then
I keep forgetting. What was another song? I was into the soundtrack. It was only like a 9-minute thing. It was like this school project that I took really fucking seriously. It was like a freshman class, a film class. And most of the kids had no idea what they were doing with anything. We had to like, you know, rent equipment from the school and like go do it. And like, he was like, make it like about Chicago. He's like 5 to 8, 9, 10 minutes, whatever. And like some people just came in with like, it would just be like footage, still like motionless footage of the Buckingham Fountain for like a minute.
Oh my
and
God.
Then a footage of a train for a minute. And like, just a shot of the Sears Tower for 30 seconds. And they're like, then they, just we nothing. Like screened all of these in class. I was like, what the fuck? I spent like 200 hours on mine. It was like, I was in the editing lab, like late at night, so many nights, like putting songs on it. Another banger song in there was Mr. Wendell by Arrested Development.
Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah, dude, that's a great song.
Man,
yeah.
I should have done Arrested Development, man. Those guys fucking rip.
I've never heard of them. I mean, I know the show, of course. Is it them? Is it Joe?
Not related.
It's the Bluths, yeah.
No, I've never heard of them.
It's like a 90s hip-hop. Throw Mr. Wendell on.
Yeah, that's
right,
a great song.
Yeah. Some Mr. Wendell.
They had a couple big hits. I mean, I don't know if they were big, but I think they had a couple of hits.
Mr. Wendell. Oh, here we go.
It's about like a homeless guy.
This sucks.
Ooh. Go ahead, man.
Oh, I know this.
Just skip to the exact other part of
that. That's hilarious. I was like,
the other instrumental.
How do I keep
exactly
doing
identical?
This? There we go. Quick to this society, for Mr. Wendell's a bum. His only worries are sickness and an occasional harassment by the police in their chase. Uncivilized, we call him, but I just saw him eat off the food we waste. Civilization, are we really civilized? Yes or no? Who are we to judge when thousands of innocent men could be brutally enslaved or killed over a racist grudge? Mr. Wendell has tried to warn us about our ways, but we don't hear him talk. Is it his? That's cool.
Yeah, that's a great
song. I like
song.
That.
Yeah.
I do remember hearing that maybe in high school or whatever and just being like, civilization, are we really civilized?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yes or no.
What the fuck?
I spit out my coffee. Oh my God. That just reminded me of this girl I knew in high school. When she thought a guy was asking for change, so she dropped some money in his cup, and it was just his
just coffee. We've all been there.
Brian Babylon used to have a joke about that, about how he keeps a lid on his Starbucks cup. He's like, loose change will fuck up a coffee drink.
That's funny. Funny stuff. No, I'm mad at Babylon because of 2K shit. We played 2K with Babylon. I'm playing around. That song from Beck was great. I love it.
Yeah,
I love. Like I said, I'm a little bitch. I always forget. Beck has one of my favorite songs of all time, and it's from the Eternal Sunshine Spotlight playlist. But it's not on Spotify, which pisses
really?
Me off. It's they have the soundtrack. That song is not on there. Like it's like blacked out.
Weird.
It's Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometimes. It's such a good like. Running theme for that movie, and it's my favorite movie, so it's like it's so good.
Talk about a high school sad boy movie. Dude, I saw that in the theaters, and like it was like at Piper's Alley, they were only showing it like a couple theaters. Me and my friends went downtown, and I was like, oh man, this is heartbreaking.
It's
I think
so
it was like
good.
The beginning of me realizing that sad movies are not for me. I did love that movie though. It was also like it was art, you know what I mean?
It's I didn't like it the first time I saw it, and then I took a film class where they made us break it down scene by scene, like frame by frame, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh wait, this is the coolest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like the things they do. Cause I saw it when I was like 18, I think, for the first time, and I was like, this, I wanted Jim Carrey to be funny. Where's the mask?
When's he gonna start telling riddles?
That's your favorite Jim Carrey performance?
The only one I've seen.
I'm just gonna play a second because it's on YouTube, but man, it pisses me off. It's not on Spotify.
That is weird.
This song rules though.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
It's just very like. Comments are turned off. Who was like being offensive in the
change your heart? Look around you.
I'm just gonna skip to where it gets. It's like, it's weird because if you watch the movie back, it, like they just plug it, that song in like in weird little like frames.
The whole, yeah. Really? Okay.
There's weird little frames where they'll just put like little tiny moments of it. And it's like, it's so cool. Anyways, great song. We got more music from your playlist here, though.
Can I just have my one beef with Eternal Sunshine?
Of course.
Let's hear it.
Michel Gondry. Why your name like that? Michel Gondry.
Michel Angry.
Get a normal That's American a name, That's French a good bastard.
You fucking piece of shit. You make me look like a dumbass in front of
How about
people.
Michael Gonzo?
Gonzo? He's a fucking Muppet. Hey, Michael Gonzo, why don't you make another beautiful film? It does suck, like, with Michel Gondry, too. Like, that's kind of the only thing he made that I like besides music videos.
I never tried to watch Kidding. People like it. I heard it's really sad.
What was that one?
That was his Showtime show with Jim Carrey where it's supposed to be really sad. I never got in the mood for sad stuff. If it's like sad and it's like, but sad and it's
hopeless.
Like a psychological thriller or something, I can watch it. Like if it's, you know, but when it's just like sad,
you have
to be like, oh, this is what I'll do tonight.
Right. I'm watching it to escape the sadness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not to just really fucking marinate in it.
Yeah. No, he made Be Kind Rewind, which I remember on spring break.
Oh.
I dragged my friends. I was like, we got to see Be Kind Rewind on fucking spring
Jack
break.
And
it was not, like, it was fine. It's not like, it's not terrible. It's just like, it's a very fun premise. It's stylistically cool, but it's just not, it just wasn't that fun of a watch, in my opinion.
I remember that.
It's where they like remake. It's such a great premise, but it's like a blockbuster, but it's Jack Black and.
Is it Steve Zahn or no?
It's I'm going to look it up because I'm having trouble remembering. I think Mos Def.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. Yeah. And they like.
They remake movies themselves, which is a fun premise, but it's just kind of like a
they
little
thin. They work at like
a
ragtag video store, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear something crazy.
Yes.
First three letters of that title, B-E-K.
Oh, dude. You just.
Where's my coffee at?
Tommy's a Scientologist, dude.
Yep, I knew it. Oh, Danny Glover's in it, too.
Nice.
And Mia Farrow. And Sigourney Weaver. Damn.
It's a cast.
Yeah.
Well, you're still mad at Mia Farrow for how she treated your buddy,
that's
right?
That's right. My good friend. Innocent until proven guilty.
Are you a Woody Allen guy?
Look, that's not what we do on this show, Maddie. That's not what the show. It's not coming up. God damn it.
Yeah, a little pervert.
The show isn't about that type of shit, Maddie.
It's different now.
Yeah. It's different now.
Stand by your band. It's horses now.
I wish we had it's different now. Yeah. We should have had her say a bunch of different
things. I was going to say, she could knock a bunch of those out in like 5 minutes and just send them to you.
We should have Alex send us for like any scenario.
Oh, man. Stand by your band. They're talking about the homeless problem now.
It becomes a food desert podcast.
The other thing Michel Gondry made was The Science of Sleep, which was a little too weird for my ass. All right, let's get to the next song on your playlist. I have it pulled up right here. It's called Wow. Giddy up, giddy up. I can't play the thing, but you know what I would.
It's like right now.
I'm trying to remember what I know this song from, because when you put it in the playlist, I didn't remember it, but then hearing it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
It was a hit when it came out. Yeah. I remember, like, I mean, I don't drive in New York, but, like, I just moved here last year, and I always drove in Chicago, and I love the radio. Like, I don't know. I'm a big XRT guy.
I love XRT.
Like, the concept of it's, I don't love commercials, but, like, there's someone here talking to you, playing music, other people are listening to you. I don't know.
Yeah.
And they always have, like, cool releases and stuff, but I remember hearing that in the car for the first time, and I was like, whoa, dude, this thing fucking bangs. Like,
yeah. So XRT is, whenever I go to Chicago, I will put on XRT. Oh, yeah. It's the only radio station I ever listen to.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's so good.
Like that and NPR.
No Pussy Rehab.
You might know the song because it was in a Honda commercial.
Ooh, I do love Hondas.
Bix.
How much money do you need, dude? I mean, I guess if they're like, here's $4 million, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bix Psych hip hop anthem was used by Japanese automaker Honda to help wow people in a commercial for their 2017 Acura MDX luxury SUV. That's why I bought one of those. I wish.
There's
continue.
There's a badass cover of it too, worth putting on for a second. It's by the Mexican Institute of Sound. Yeah, see if you can find it.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that. In the meantime, the song has a hip hop feel, and at one time, Beck had hoped that Chance the Rapper would spit some rhymes on it.
Ooh.
That's interesting. Wait, what was the name of the Mexican what?
Institute of Sound.
Institute of Sound. Let's see if it comes up quickly, and it certainly is not. yeah, there's Beck dropped this funky cut as the follow-up to his 2015 single Dreams.
This is all stuff Tom's just saying, by the way. No, he's not reading this off anything.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I speak.
Funky cut.
When he first came up with the song, Beck didn't see it as a potential release, as it came together so quickly. He recalled to NME, "I was working on another song, maybe Dreams, when I had an idea for a flute beat. I picked up the mic." I always have these type of ideas.
Where's my flute? Get me my flute.
What's that flute beat that I was thinking about the other day? Oh, wait, here's, I think I found the cover, but I'll finish saying this first. I picked up the mic and Wow came out totally spontaneously. I put it away and forgot about it. Then Wow was in the studio one day and someone said, "You should put this on the record." I went, "I don't think anybody would like this." Usually I turn in a whole album to my record company and when they want a single, but there were a lot of songs in progress, so I sent in a cachet of them this time. Nothing happened for months, then suddenly the record company said, "We're putting Wow out as a single." I was like, "Really? Wow."
Oh,
no. Huh, no. Well, okay then. Wow was the last song on the cachet I had sent over. Interesting. All right, let's hear this this cover.
It's more like a remix than a cover, I think.
Beck is in it.
Yeah. It's him. It's his voice. Yeah. So I think they just like chopped it up and sampled him. That's all good.
There you go. Oh yeah. There's the dude. This is on songfacts.com. It says, "Wow is an exclamation of wonder, often tinged with other emotions such as sorrow, excitement, admiration, or pleasure." Thanks, Songfacts.
Frequently said by Owen Wilson.
Wow. Pretty good. All right, we got one more song here from this playlist, and then
this is a fun little.
This was a big radio
flirty
song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I was in high school, yeah,
little,
yeah.
It's like a little summer banger, you know what I mean?
Perfect yeah. Time. So this and "Ipro" were the other two singles from that album, "Guero," which I think is 2005, and those were on the radio all the time, and I was a big fan of them. I think when I was like a junior in high school.
Let's hear it.
I think one of the reasons I like gravitated towards Tulsa.
Oh no,
this is somber.
Oh, you're good.
Because like, there's like most of these songs, like, and whenever they come on, anytime I hear it, I'm like never mad about it. I'm yeah, like, right. Oh hell yeah, dude. You know what I mean?
This one did chart at 100 on the American charts and 45 in the UK.
I would have guessed 10. For yeah. sure. I feel like it was everywhere that summer.
Cool song. I forgot about that song. I'm going to skip forward a little bit. All right, that's enough. So Beck explained, originally the lyrics to Girl were really upbeat, and then it didn't work for me somehow. You need the dichotomy. If you're doing something happy and light, you need the shadows. That was something that the Pixies did so well. Frank Black is a genius at these happy songs, and then you listen to the lyrics, and they're based on like Boonwell films of cows' eyes getting cut. And he is referring to the song, the Pixie song, Debaser.
Great song.
We should do it. Maybe they're too cool, but I was just saying appreciation of the Pixies. Yeah. I love them so much.
Oh, yeah. Surfer Rosa, all-time album for me.
Hell yeah. Great song. Good choice.
Hey, thanks.
Great choices all around here, Maddie.
I took it. It's one of those weird things where, like, I did Marty DeRosa and Farvar had a podcast for a while that was like, make us a mixtape or something. It was like, bring six songs in. And I've never like stressed about something more in my life. I'm like six songs that define me for my episode. God damn it. And it's also one of those things where like I love music and I know like a decent amount about it. Like I think compared, but it's like one of those things where if I start talking music, I immediately start feeling like a fraud because I'm not like,
well, people
I don't
are
have like
so,
an encyclopedic
yeah.
knowledge of like every single aspect mm-hmm. of it, but I know like a little bit about a lot. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't know.
It's definitely one of the most gatekept topics. Like I'm constantly worried on this show about like tweets we're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's at a certain point, you have to be like, you know what? I know what I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fine. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. It's medium.
I really don't give a shit. I don't read the reviews. I don't fucking care.
I don't have like a fucking wall of vinyl that I know about the recording date. You know what I mean? Like,
no, and that's why we only talk about music for about a third of the show, and the rest of it is about horse fucking and just whatever the fuck is going on our day. No, it's a good time. We love the listeners,
real hood.
Let's go. Speaking of the listeners, we like to hear from them on the topics at hand, and we did go. This is going to be tough, so because I'm going to need. All
right, wait, is this like live right now? What's going
on? No. It's not live. We got. I post on the Patreon and on Facebook, and we do Twitter.
Okay.
To see if people have thoughts about the band we're talking about. This one we did pretty last minute, but we did get some. We got some messages from people. We go to the Patreon first. If you're on the Patreon, you get your thoughts guaranteed to be read if you get them in time. And so we appreciate it. Oh, we got a lot on this one. Right off the bat.
It's all just making fun of me personally.
We did on the Patreon. We say who the guest is too. So you get to know that ahead of time. JV says the ad libs on Loser are iconic. Getting crazy with the cheese whiz is what JV quotes there. By the way, JV also said that they got tickets to see me in Cleveland,
nice.
Which is July 10th. I'll be at Hilarities. JV said, just got my tickets to see Tom in Cleveland on July 10th, and I'm very excited to be able to represent Piss Nation. If you're new to the show, our show is we at one point called our fans Piss Freaks. And I don't remember why. I think it was Tommy shit, but
it stuck. When there's a good name, you go with it, man.
Exactly. But thank you for being part of Urine Nation. anyways, Dave says, saw Beck with Spoon and Cage the Elephant a couple years ago. Incredible show, but he was the low point, believe it or not.
I believe that.
I still don't fully get his appeal, but I might just be a dumbass. you might. I kind of feel that too.
Yeah,
like
Cage the Elephant rips.
Yeah, I just like I like even listening to the songs today, I was like, I like all of these songs, but I think because he's so all over the place, it's
right.
hard to nail him down
yeah.
and like get a real. If somebody's like, let's listen to Beck, I'm like, well, I don't know what the fuck we're gonna be hearing. I remember putting Morning Phase on a bunch when it came out. It was like my go to writing album. Toby Braithwaite says Tommy looking through the lyrics for sex laws for any mention of horses.
Stand by your band. It's horses now.
All right, I'm only playing that once during the comments because there's probably going to be a lot. Yep, here we go. Cody Chadwick says he has a song called Iron Horse in which he says, your iron horse is coming, which is more than what Tommy can say about his horse. So now Tommy fucks the horses and can't even make them come.
or does Tommy not come? It sounds like that's the thing. So he's just doing it for the love of the game now?
Oh, true. Yeah. That's, yeah. I just love it. It doesn't make me...
I don't even come anymore, dude. Just, I love this.
Jason Acosta says, around 2005 or 06, I was holding down two jobs delivering pizzas and bartending. My roommate, the owner of the bar, called me on my cell phone while I was on a delivery and said, I need you to get out of work and down to the bar right now, but I can't tell you why. So I told him to call the restaurant and just say that I needed to urgently call him back because our house was on fire. I got back and my manager sent me, quote unquote, home. I pulled up to the bar to see some guys unloading some music equipment. Turns out Beck had been lurking around El Paso and decided to play an unannounced set at our spot. Word spread quickly, and we were so far past capacity that some people sat in the parking lot just to hear the show. Don't love his music, but that night is still considered legendary for everyone who was there.
That
what
is pretty
sick. What a
weird
ending to that story. I don't love his music.
Not for me, but it was cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's a sick story. What a good buddy.
I wish there was footage of Beck lurking around El Paso.
True. Jennifer Starla Miller says, absolutely prolific songwriter / musical creator. In fact, nearly genius level. He just has bad takes on other things, like being a Scientologist. Jennifer,
he was never
a Scientologist. Why do people just say whatever they want, I guess.
One interview, you go, I'm 100% a Scientologist. And after that, people just, their imaginations run wild.
Nick Steinberg says, my favorite thing about Beck is that he's nearly as eclectic as Bowie when it comes to exploring different genres and sounds, but will still pull liberally from the Beckshinary at every turn. He'll write a sad indie folk song called Chicken Gumbo Laser Brain Laugh Track, and somehow it all works. That's funny. Good stuff, yeah. Nick. That was the Patreon. Did we get anything on the Twitter, Tommy?
We did. So Matt Riggs posed a question.
Hey.
He said, Yeah, he said, do you prefer the funky alt hip hop rock Beck or the folk Beck? What would you say, Matty?
Ooh, if I had a pick, I would think I would go the funky alt rock.
Yeah. Know what I mean? I think there's more, with that, I think the highs are higher. Like the folk stuff is pretty much like the hit rate, I don't know, like a more percentage of it is listenable,
exactly.
I would say. But yeah, the
there's only so much melancholy you can kind of handle, you know what I mean? If you're trying to have a nice time.
Yeah. Austin Typro Negative said, Odelay is one of my favorite albums of all time. Does Tommy fuck donkeys too? Because at the end of Jackass, there's some donkey braying that might be hot. I don't know. Johnny Metz said, Morning Phase is my go-to weekend breakfast album. Deborah is so funny and catchy. How can one person do all that? Feels unfair. On the other hand, when he toured with the Flaming Lips, he both wasted and disrespected them. That's interesting.
Ooh, weird.
George Gordon, friend of the show, said, one of the best concerts I've ever been to, saw him on the Odelay tour for $10 in 1997.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Gosh. 5-1 said, I tried to go through his library and everything outside of his hits is terrible music.
Wow.
Not like a minor step down, terrible. And then Fake Drake said, left a Patreon comment, but here's a link to a new link to that, an article about that El Paso show.
Oh, nice.
Which I was reading a little bit of. And it sounds like when he did like the second show at the coffee shop, or whatever, he played like all covers and it sounds like it was sick.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
That rules. Somebody posted, so on the Facebook, I'll just read a few. Get on the Patreon if you want them guaranteed to be read. We don't got time to do all these. But somebody posted the picture of him on Futurama, and he's saying, that song doesn't usually last 3 hours, but we got into a serious thing and then I forgot how it ended. Jason's Table says, my first big show was back. Oh, that was Brandon Meritz, by the way. Jason Staples says, my first big show was Beck. It was rad. Also, I still really like the Guero and Guerolito records. Mm-hmm. Cool. Larry Fulford says that Black Hole was on the same record as Loser. Should have been all the proof we needed to know Beck was something special. Terry Ewer says, one of the best live performances I've ever seen. A lot of people are saying that. James Beck says, I haven't listened to him much lately, but people have been quoting Where It's At lines at me because of my last name, you see, since 1996. And it was clever exactly once. other than that, I remember thinking Midnight Vultures was a perfect album when it came out. Becky Bronstein says, I met him in the hotel lobby when I competed in the National Spelling Bee in D.C. in 1997.
Oh, that's a movie.
That's crazy. Becky and the Bee. There were a bunch of bands staying there for a concert, and I was the only Spelling Bee kid who knew who they were and was just beside myself. He was shorter than me, and he was nice. Wow. And when I said my name was Becky, he was like, it's an okay name, right? And he shrugged. That's great.
Oh, my God. That is some twee shit from Beck.
Last one I'll read here is that, Gary Levitt says, hung out in his rehearsal room and watched him eat salad. He liked the salad. David Twitty says, was obsessed with Sea Change and Midnight Vultures in high school. I don't listen to him often these days, but put this song on the other day and it still bangs. And the song is, K Onda from, Guero. So check that out if you want, to hear that song. That brings us to the end of the show. We don't, I don't think we need to rate this playlist, right?
No, I mean, I love all four of those songs. Yeah, that's a 4 out of 4.
And Jared did not send me a thing, but he did text me back finally, and he is okay.
What happened?
We texted Jared. We wanted him to do the Patreon, but he did not respond for a week, and I was a little bit worried, but he's all right.
Jared from Bloomington?
Yeah, okay. From the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. Get out there, see a show, and hey, while you're seeing, if you're in the mood for seeing shows, why don't you see one of us boys? For example, me. I'll be on the road. I'm going to Vegas July 1st and 2nd. I'm at Comedy Works there. And then I'm at Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase the next weekend, July 7th and 8th. I'll be, 8th and 9th, I think. And then the 10th, I will be in Cleveland. The 13th, I'll be in Chicago at Zany's. So get tickets for that, please. And I'm doing an album at the end of the year at the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins. So get out there, and I'm doing High Plains.
All right. I am too.
Alex said you guys were doing it too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Maddie, is there anything you'd like to plug on the way out of here?
Oh, I don't think so. No. I might be doing a private car in Chicago in August.
Hey, oh, sweet.
I think we might get it back going monthly.
Hell yeah.
Chris Higgins is going to help run it.
Oh, shit. That's sick.
Yeah.
Chris is a good man.
Yeah, he's great.
That rules, dude. Well, you guys will be at High Plains. That's a plug. Yeah.
When is it? That's early, first week of September, second?
Dude, I think that. I don't know. Yeah. I've got too much shit to worry about. My wedding is August 20th.
Shit.
Anybody who listens to this show is invited. JK.
You know what they say, 8:20, smoke 2 joints.
they do say that. Tommy, is there anything you'd like to promote?
Me and Casey's shows at Stand Up New York. It'll be tonight if this comes out tomorrow.
Yes.
And then on Sunday, the 26th of June, I'll be doing a little Tommy and Friends at the Lincoln Lodge, last minute pop-up show. We're going to have friend of the show, Clark Jones, friend of the show, Bobby Condon, friend of the show, Joe Quazala.
Nice. Wait, and, why are Christina Bobby and Joe London. In town? Just for shits?
Joe is doing his own show, so he's technically a secret guest.
Oh, nice.
But just for posters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I could say it on the podcast.
Oh, we're going to say it a lot.
Bobby's in town for family stuff. Nice. That's why I'm going in town. It's my mom's 60th birthday. So, happy birthday to Susie. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Susie.
Happy birthday, Susie. Yeah. Hell yeah. And you just put your special on YouTube, right?
So it's been on there, but for some reason, a special thing just promoted it.
Oh, I see. I knew it was up there. I was like, I got confused.
So I tried to share their post on Facebook, and then it just shared the YouTube link. So it looked like it was a weird, dumb Facebook thing. But
check out the special. It's up there. All right. Well, this was a great time.
It was great.
Man.
Thanks for having me,
you
guys.
Know what we didn't do is let you have your final thoughts on Beck.
So
you get to give people
he was
party
so, he was know. So relieved to be done.
That
sounds smart
again.
Real quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the people who wrote into the Patreon kind of nailed it.
Sure.
There was two people that I forget. It was a guy and a gal. They really, I think they both kind of encompass what I
You can't remember
I
their
thought.
Names, you are fucked.
it was the director of Eternal Sunshine. Mm-hmm.
Michael Gonzo?
Yeah. Michael Gonzo.
Michael Gonzo. How could you forget? Thanks again for writing in, Michael, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks again, Maddie.
Thank you, guys. It was awesome.
Check out Maddie Ryan on all social media platforms you got, and we'll see you guys next week. Like I said, get on the Patreon. Thanks for listening. Keep it crispy. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.